So we had that agreement, and then in about the April, May of the London 2012, which started in, well, it was July, August, I started then to put myself out there to people to say, look, I'm going to be available from November, December onwards. And then I got approached by a number of people. So I was offered a job in football down on the South Coast. I was offered a role in Dubai for Emirates, but dealing with their French-speaking Indian Ocean program. I was also engaged by a company in New York, a leisure company in New York. And then I got a phone call about the Gloucester role, which came out of the blue. And I went to meet the people that were working on behalf of the club at the time. And, you know, I've always grown up, sport's always been my thing. And I wanted to segue into sport if there was any possible chance of doing it. And again, it's probably fate, really, and timing. And also the fact that my father left us when we were kind of 12 years old, and my mum remarried. And he's a wonderful man, and he's been my father for the rest of our time, and I treat him the same way, and he treats me like a son. But he's from Gloucestershire, and in fact, he's from Kempsford, Fairford, over that way. And Gloucester supporter. His mum, my grandma, Ursula, she's now 90-odd, but massive supporter. She was on the Tump when she was 6 years old. The stories she tells me about, you know, her heroes are people from way back, you know, so Peter Ford and people like that are her heroes, and Mickey Booth and those guys. But she's still as passionate now, and anytime I'm on the radio, she'll be on the phone. You were on the radio today, and you've got to work on that Birmingham accent's awful, you know, type of thing. And when I did quite a lot of gardening at the club, when I kind of had to move out a load of people from the coaching, you know, she was straight on the phone, what the bloody hell are you doing? And, you know, so I've always had that real critic there, trust me, every single time. But I was always aware of Gloucester. I grew up watching Moseley at the Reddings, you know, and but for the grace of God and potentially Tom Walkinshaw, we could have gone the same way as Moseley, I expect. But always knew Gloucester were I hate that proverbial sleeping giant, but I was attracted to it. Geographically, it was very good for me as well, living in Birmingham. Gloucester's only 5 minutes down the road in real terms, compared to what I'd done in the past in terms of travelling. So I did a bit of due diligence. I bought a ticket. I came to the Bath game. So I had a pint in Teague's Bar with my dad and my brother.
Guinness, presumably.
It would have been a Guinness, yeah. this is not my real dad. This was obviously Ian, right, yeah. Who my mum. But it would have been Guinness anyway. So we had a pint of Guinness in Teague's, came into the ground, watched the game, and Stephen Donald scored a try against us in about 40 seconds. We went on to win the game. Shane Monaghan, if I recall, had a storm of that game. I think he scored a couple of tries and whatever else. But I stood in the shed, about, I don't know, 50 yards in from the side where you come into the shed. So I wanted to experience it. But at the time, I was looking at the stadium, I was looking at the advertising, I was looking at the opportunities around the stadium. How did my ticket process work? Was it clunky? Did it work very well? Queuing up for a beer, how long did it take? So I wanted to get a feel. I didn't want the corporate experience, I wanted the fan experience. And I thought, you know what? There's a lot I can do here. So that excited me. So I then went for the interviews, met with Ryan and Martin Walkinshaw initially. I then met with Ken Nottage, who I really like, Ken, and he gave me some stellar advice and gave me the highs and the lows, you know, of the job. And I'm still a friend of Ken's to this day. You know, Lucy Nottage, who works for us as well, is excellent. And so the Nottage dynasty continues. I then had a number of interviews, and they offered me the job in, I don't know, the October, I guess, and I started as soon as I finished. I had 4 weeks off because I bought had a 12-week-old puppy arriving, and then started in December 2012. And so that was kind of the route here, really.
Yeah. So what brief did you have from Martin and Ryan as to what they wanted you to do?
Well, it was very interesting at the time because Gloucester as a club, and obviously I spoke to a lot of people, and I don't think anybody would, even Martin or Ryan or Martin would disagree with this. There was a slightly disparate feel around the ownership at the time. I never met Tom, and obviously that had all happened, and unfortunately he passed away. So Ryan had obviously inherited the club with a kind of watching brief, I guess, of his mum. But he was his own, he was his own man, you know, to be fair to him. But obviously Martin was there as a minority shareholder, but a significant minority shareholder. But of course Martin's very much a self-made businessman, and obviously Ryan had come in a slightly different journey. So there was a slightly odd feeling around the ownership. I'd come from large PLC backgrounds, so it was probably going to feel odd anyway. But I guess the brief was, when I came to the club, I think we finished ninth that year, and we were making about, I don't know, make up a number, £150,000 worth of profit or £200,000 worth of profit. So I was trying to decipher what did success look like. Was it about a legacy of winning, or was it about breaking even and making money? Because the directors weren't making dividends, they weren't taking dividends or anything. And the answer I kind of got was, you know, we want to break even and win, type of thing. And of course, you know, I was in that interview process, so I couldn't say, well, I don't think that's achievable at the time, but it never has been achievable. But at the time, I didn't feel it was my place. I thought, I need to get under the bonnet here and see what it's all about. So the brief was really to try and be commercially very strong. And a lot of the conversation, if I'm honest, was around the commercial side of the club, not so much the performance. And it felt almost like, you know, at the time it was Nigel Davis that was there, but it was like the playing department's a bit separate, really. And I think it was probably like that with my predecessor. Whereas my background was in sport and performance in sport. So obviously that lent itself to much more involvement within the playing group. And I knew from a very early age, if we don't get it right that side, we're not going to get it right the other side. So the brief was very much more commercial, main partners, sponsors, conference and events, bars, etc. But you're also managing the playing department. That's how it kind of felt at the start. But then due to my own kind of strategic review that I did, that changed fairly dramatically, fairly quickly. Yeah.
To what degree were you given an independent hand, and, or you know, how detailed was the guidance from the board?
It's always, I mean, in the later years when we've had one owner, it's been very independent actually, and I give credit to Martin for that. I guess it's a two-way thing. He has to trust me that I'm going to make good decisions, and he also has to trust me that anything that I bring to him is worthy of bringing to him. I'm not going to. You've got to have some emotional intelligence here, of what you do and don't run by the board. Now, I think we've got that relationship going well now, and I think I could probably count on one hand in 7 years how many times we've had a disagreement about something that I've recommended. And if there has been a disagreement, it's fine. It's not my club. I'm the chief exec. I'm a paid employee, and at the end of the day, I know my place. I think as long as you know that at the start, that you're not the messiah, that's fine. It's their club at the end of the day. I think independence has always been fine. I think obviously Ryan and Martin are very different characters. Ryan was probably more wanting to get more involved with things, probably more around the playing side, and it's quite exciting really. That's the good part of the club. It's the exciting bit of the club. He probably doesn't want to know about my conference and events figures or particularly. But he was energised and he was excited and he wanted it to work, and you know, but they trusted me, and they had other things going on anyway. I think where there's always more of a kind of joined up view is obviously around playing department and finances. So for example, you know, I would never make a signing at the club without firstly, you know, at least getting sign off from the owners, because if I'm going to sign a player for £200,000, £300,000, £400,000, £500,000, it's a big chunk of money. But again, I've never once had anything denied, because as you would in any business, there's always a cost benefit analysis versus it, you know. So we're bringing in this fly half, he's going to cost this, but he's English qualified, which helps us here, which helps us bring in here. He's potentially going to get an England squad, which could mean this as well financially. From a succession plan perspective, we haven't got enough in here, whatever it might be. So I think when you explain it to somebody, or why you want to retain a player, as long as you can kind of make it all add up and make sense, I think they accept that. And as long as it's in the pre-agreed budgets, they get on with it. And I think it's probably a breath of fresh air for owners to think, well, I haven't got to deal with that all of the time. But owners will have their own take on things as well. They'll have their own favourite players. They'll have their own favourite, what they want the kit to look like. You know, I often laugh with a lot of the other chief execs about some of the enormity that we deal with, where owners have little interest, but then the tiniest thing around, you know, what something looks like or what a marketing message is, they're very interested in. But that's fine, and it's their train set, and they can do as they will.